You need that pitch pack.
Sorry.
It's under the pulpit. Do you need the pitch pipe when you come up? You got yours, okay. All right, my apologies. Always a good way to start a lesson, isn't it? Knock the pitch pipe off. All right, appreciate many things that have happened this morning. Certainly the songs, it seemed, can go well with the lesson, and I appreciated Bob taking the opportunity to read for us as well. I'm going to begin with a verse that you will find in the chapter that was read. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the children of God. To be led by the Spirit of God. If we stop and think about that, is that a good goal to always have in life? To make sure that we are led by the Spirit of God? And not only is it a goal, but it's also a privilege that we have. As Christians, we truly can be and will be led by the Spirit of God as we serve Him. And so this morning we come together. We come together, some are older, some are younger, some are new to the faith, some may be older in the faith, some may not be of the faith. But no matter where we are in our walk with the Lord, may we all be united in our purpose, and may we be united in a desire, and not just any desire, but a deep desire to have as a goal and to enjoy as a privilege the idea of walking with the Lord and being led by His Spirit. Turn with me, if you will, to Romans, the 8th chapter. That's where we're going to begin. Let's see, we're going to begin and we're going to be getting thoughts from. In preparation for this lesson, I chose to take a chapter in the Bible and discuss it some. As you can tell, this is a long chapter, and so I'm not looking to do all the chapter. But we are going to look at the first 17 verses of this chapter. Now, there's a lot of things that are very valuable, I think, here. But the reason I chose this is I believe it teaches us things on a biblical level, but it also inspires us on a personal level, on a personal spiritual level. There's a lot of things we can gain from this, including gaining biblical knowledge of the way things operate as well in some ways. But in all of this, in a sense, there's two main ideas, and that is being led by the Spirit, walking after the Spirit, we'll call that one, and also the idea of being of a carnal mind or of a spiritual mind. Those are two things we're going to find from here. Let's begin by getting our feet wet with this, by looking at Romans chapter 8. We'll take the first 6 verses as we begin. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. This is an outstanding chapter of the Bible, and some very important thoughts here as we begin this chapter. One of the things that I really appreciate about this is that you can take your life, and our life in some senses can be very complicated. There can be a lot of different issues that may be challenging us. Maybe we're helping other people who are facing challenges as well. But it can take all the clouds of life, if you will, and like a laser beam, it can take it into one particular focus and say, this is what life's about. And not only that, but it can take it as a whole society, if you will. Not just you as an individual, but as a society. As we take a step back and look at what's around us, we can also take a laser beam and say, this is what it's about. But not only as a society today, but we can take all of mankind, all of men and women who have been created, have had this same issue before them, whether individually or collectively, or nations have had to make choices. And that is boiling down to the question of how are we going to walk in our life? the choice that we face, the two choices, to walk after the flesh or walk after the Spirit. You know, again, there's so many different things that can be confusing, but boiling it down, that's where it is. Another way to perceive it or to consider it is found in verse 6, and that is, are you going to be carnally minded or are you going to be spiritually minded? That is really what life becomes about. And that is what one of the things that I appreciate about this passage. You know, another idea that comes to mind is that as we are born into a world where the voice of the flesh and the voice of sin is very loud. It is so loud that it screams at us. I wasn't sure how loud to scream. I'm not a real screamer. But did the voice of sin scream during the time of Noah? How loud was the voice of sin then? What were the thoughts and the imaginations of people? On occasion, were they evil? They were wicked forever. They were wicked always, weren't they? We see at that time. What about how loud was the voice of sin in Sodom and Gomorrah? How loud was the voice of sin among Israel? As at one time, at times they followed the Lord, but boy, that voice was pretty loud because they saw a lot of other things around them, and they followed the idols as well. How loud was the voice of sin to the Apostle Paul? He wrote about it in chapter 7, and we'll go back and touch on that in a few minutes here. But as we are born into this world, then, is the voice of sin loud? It is. It screams at us. And at times we may think that our time is extremely challenging. And I believe it is. And it can continue to get worse. But men and women have faced it before as well. And what we're seeing then is, as we are born into this world, is it natural that we become spiritually minded? As we wake up in the morning, is it natural that we are spiritually minded? Not necessarily. But that becomes our focus, and that becomes our choice, to be carnally minded or to be spiritually minded. Now, just as a way of reference, most of us realize what carnal is, to a degree at least. But most of us have been in church services many times. For many people, if they heard the word carnal, they would have no idea what that really means. But it's just to boil it down very briefly, I like this definition from Vines. Governed by human nature instead of by the Spirit of God. That's in essence what it is. To be carnally minded is to be governed by human nature rather than by the Spirit of God. So as we come back and consider some of these things, going back to verse 1 of chapter 8, there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. What the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. We'll stop there for a moment. So we find here, we've got the introduction of walking after the flesh or after the Spirit. And as we walk after the Spirit, we find there is no condemnation that we can be under because we truly are walking after the Spirit, is the idea mentioned here. Now I appreciate verses 2 and 3, and this is where the teaching comes in. The idea of two laws. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. We find the old law, which here is referred to as the law of sin and death, was weak. Now, I should rephrase that. The law itself was not weak. I'm going to go back to verse 12 of chapter 7. For me, that's on the same page, just a different column. Romans chapter 7, verse 12. What do we find about the law? The law is holy, the commandment holy, and just and good. But down in verse 14, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. The law itself was righteous. The law was holy. The problem was not in the law, but the problem was in man. And that's what we see in verse 3. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. What I had read a brief, a few sentences that kind of, I appreciated this idea, kind of like the law was, in a sense, a Band-Aid. The law was able to cover certain things, but it certainly did not heal them. If somebody gets a cut, they can put a Band-Aid over it to protect it, but does the Band-Aid heal it? Not at all. And of course, there's many other references. We know the law is given as a schoolmaster and so on. But what we're seeing here is it was planned from the beginning to be this way. This law had many perfections, if you will. It had many strengths. But what it could not do truly was it could not, in essence, essentially forgive sin. It could identify sin, but it could not condemn sin. And we see then that as God sent His Son, and there in verse 3, and I appreciate the idea of the songs that Duane had led also, and one of it was "The Way That He Loves." I was thinking about that song as we were singing it. I was thinking about my lesson as well. The way that He loves, and we see here in verse 3 that is expressed. We see that the law could not do this because of the weakness of the flesh, but God sent His own Son. He sent Him in the likeness of flesh. He became flesh. He became a sacrifice for sin. He was perfect and without sin. And combining the two, or the three, of His being the Son of God, of His being without sin, of His sacrifice to cover our sin, through these things, He condemned sin in the flesh. Now, under the old law, the righteousness was in not breaking it in any way, shape, or form. In the new law, we see that we walk after the Spirit, to be spiritually minded. And in doing this, the righteous requirements of the law are fulfilled, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And I like how verse 5 kind of is a bridge to getting to the next one. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So let me ask you a question. Are you spiritually minded? Now, what it reminds me of is Jesus. After He had been betrayed and after He had been crucified and resurrected, if you remember in John chapter 21, He was gathered with His apostles. And what did He ask Peter? Peter, do you love Me more than these? And Peter's response was, yes, God, You know that I love You. Well, what did Jesus respond with next? Did He not believe Peter because He asked him a second time? It's not that He didn't believe him, but He said, Peter, do you love Me? Peter says, sure, I love you. A third time, Peter, do you love Me? In a sense, what we're seeing here is Jesus was setting the stage because Peter's life was going to be very challenging going forward as he became one of the foundations of the church. He was one, of course, of the apostles who went out to preach the gospel. His life was going to be a major challenge, and he was going to face death as a result. He needed to be prepared and ready. And so when we think of the question, and we're asked the question, and I ask myself, or you ask yourself, are you spiritually minded? Am I spiritually minded? Well, on the surface, I think all of us are probably going to answer yes. We're here. We certainly, as Christians who do attend church on a regular basis, have a good deal of spiritual mindedness about us. But could we ask the question a second time of ourselves? Am I spiritually minded? It simply makes us think a little bit more about it. And I'm not here to even question whether you're spiritually minded, because I think all of us are. At the same time, what this is about is it is about a continual growth process. Just like sanctification, when we are sanctified, as we become a Christian, we are baptized, we are sanctified. We are set apart for a holy purpose. We are, in a sense, completely sanctified at the time. But is sanctification a one-time event or a continual growth process? And I believe it to be a process. And the same thing is true as far as spiritual mindedness goes. Let's say someone is 12 or 14, or whatever their age may be, and they're baptized. Are they spiritually minded? Well, they're obviously thinking about the Lord and have come to a strong conviction and choose to be baptized. I wouldn't question at all that they're spiritually minded. But is there still a long ways to grow and to go to continue to appreciate what it means to be spiritually minded? Because as they go back, in the instance I've given, they go back to school and go back to friends, there's going to be many challenges. And in many ways, they don't understand yet fully what it means to be spiritually minded. Well, the same is true with us. And so when we're here today, you could be here today and be 8 years old and be spiritually minded, or 5 years old and be spiritually minded to a degree. But there's still room to grow. By the same token, we could be here today and we could be 80 years old and be spiritually minded. But one of the values of this chapter is being reminded how important it is each day to remember to be spiritually minded. Because in a sense, when we are spiritually minded, we're going to stay that way. But on the other hand, to be spiritually minded one day does not guarantee that over the course of time, our spiritual mindedness will not fade. So let's continue on. Verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are of the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. We'll continue on verses 10 and 11 also. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also make you alive, your mortal bodies, by the Spirit which dwells in you. There are so many advantages of becoming a Christian. And one of the advantages we find from Acts chapter 2, verse 38, is that when we are baptized, we also receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I don't know how you see these things, but one of the ways I perceive this is the idea of, for me, the essence of me is in my soul. And my soul is here. On one side is my spirit, and on one side is my body. Of course, as I become a Christian, the Spirit of God also comes into my spirit, if you will, to dwell with me. And so as my soul sits in the middle, I have a choice about whether I'm going to be led by the Spirit. Now, in one case, if this is just my spirit, can my spirit mislead me at times? Yes. So if we don't get the Lord's Spirit in there, I'm just to follow after my spirit is certainly better than following after my body, but my spirit can also mislead me. But here is the Lord's Spirit coming into my spirit, and here is my body. And here I am in the middle, and I have a choice about following one or the other. On one hand, whether I'm carnally minded or spiritually minded is shown in that way as well. And so for me, I appreciate the idea of the soul being, in a sense, in the middle, where the spirit and the body are on either side. But of course, we also see, and of course, we know that that's kind of a literal perception, where we know all of these are figurative in some ways, although our body is obviously tangible as well. But we see that Christ comes into us as we are baptized. I appreciate 1 Corinthians 6:19, the idea there. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own. You are bought with a price. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You know, there's one thought, I'm going to come back to where I was in just a second, but one thought that just came to my mind that I want to mention too. Back in verse 2, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. I appreciate the new law bringing out both the Spirit and Christ Jesus. the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. The Spirit is very much a part of God. Jesus is very much a part of God. The very first song we sang this morning related to that as well, as all three were mentioned in that particular song. We find the value, certainly, of Christ. If we are in Christ, verse 10, if Christ be in you, the body is dead, but also the Spirit of Him raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you. That's the idea that we have here. I need to fully appreciate Christ living in me, and with that, I can truly be led by His Spirit. Let's go on to verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. We've seen the challenge of chapter 7 back here, how we may desire to do certain things, but there is also the flesh that will lead us in other directions. But now we have the Spirit within us, being led by the Spirit. And verse 12 has mentioned that we are debtors, but we're not debtors to the flesh. I had just read earlier from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, our debt is to the Lord, because we are bought with a price. And therefore we are glorifying the Lord in our body and in our spirit. And I appreciate how earlier I had mentioned the soul kind of being very in the middle. We glorify God in our body and in our spirit. Both of these. And of course the Holy Spirit helps to glorify our spirit as well as our body as we follow Him. Verse 14 is a powerful verse, and that's the reason we started with it. I've used it to kind of summarize this section. There's another verse or two that might be used to summarize that. But as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. What does it mean to be led by the Spirit of God? We could take time to talk about that. I think one of the things it means to be led by the Spirit of God is to certainly be spiritually minded. That's the reason we've hit on that some. But also, of course, to be led by the Spirit of God starts first and foremost in His Word. The more time that I do spend reading the Word of God, the more spiritually minded I am. And He is leading me in His Spirit in that way. His Spirit is also within me. There are those who may not be as gifted, if you will, at being able to read Scripture and understand and there are those who, certainly, it takes more than just reading the Scripture and understanding it. It also takes putting into action. And there are those who may be very active as far as doing many things. It's not one or the other. In essence, it becomes a combination. You and I both need to be students of the Word of God, but also students of putting into action by serving, by loving, by honoring, by worshiping. These are some of the aspects of being led by the Spirit. I appreciate also in verse 15 and 15, 16, and 17, verse 14 has talked about being a child of God then. Several versions use the word sons. Others have also brought out the idea of children. I believe we could use either idea. But we are a child of God. Now, Jesus Himself is called the only begotten Son of God. But we find here how we are children of God. It is through that Spirit of adoption. We are adopted into the family of God, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. I did not look this up at this time. My understanding from previous study is that Abba involves the idea of daddy. It involves the idea of a close relationship. You know, some people call him father. And in any, whether it's our earthly father, There is a formal title, but hopefully there is a close intimacy as well, and that would convey that. So we have the intimacy involved here, the closeness of the relationship, as well as Father. We see the Spirit bearing witness with our spirit. I truly appreciate the idea of the Spirit and our spirit combining here. I see the idea conveyed as the judgment. Verse 17 is kind of being joint heirs with Christ. At the judgment, as we are, quote, before the bar, the judgment bar, as we stand before the Lord, who is going to be our advocate? Well, Jesus is our advocate, but also the Holy Spirit saying, He is one of yours. He is a child of God. The Spirit given to us as a seal. We are sealed with His Spirit. We are adopted. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit. You say you're a child of God. The Spirit of God says you're a child of God. And when they both convey that message, you will become a joint heir. If children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. We talked earlier about being born into a world of sin. There's going to be suffering that happens. There's going to be suffering in terms of people around us that do things, and the times may continue to get worse, and we may be seen more and more as on the fringe. That may be one way of suffering. There's a variety of ways that we will suffer. But you and I, if we're going to be spiritually minded, we need to be willing to suffer. Because it is only through our suffering, if we suffer with Him, then we will also be glorified with Him too. In this lesson, what I want us to do as we leave this morning is hopefully to be reminded once again of how important it is to be spiritually minded. Sometimes, I mean, I believe we need to be reminded of that on a regular basis. Sometimes, you know, that is something that I think all of us know in the back of our mind at least. But in the front of our mind, we need to be committed to be spiritually minded, to be led by the Spirit of God. What we're seeing is we're seeing both sides. I need to walk after the Spirit of God, and as I walk after the Spirit of God, God's part is that He will lead me by His Spirit. We talked earlier about the way that He loves, one of the songs that was led. Well, the way that He loves is He leads. The way that He loves is He gave us His Spirit. I appreciate in verse 6, and I bring this out because the song also, that the way that He loves had conveyed the idea of peace. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So we combine this idea of God's love and also our choosing to walk after Him and choosing to have a spiritual mind. And with this, that spirit that is within us will in no way be quenched. And may we make a commitment to not quench the Lord's Spirit within us, but to allow Him to work as much as He can and to continue to lead us after Him. And so, again, our closing words are the idea of remember to be spiritually minded. As we do draw this lesson to a conclusion, we offer the invitation. If you're here today and you're not yet a Christian, you may be spiritually minded to a degree, but the way to become fully spiritually minded is to allow the Spirit of God to be a part of you. And the only way that we can put on Christ is through baptism. We invite you to come to repent of your sins and to confess Christ as His Son and your Savior. We invite you to come for whatever reason as we stand and sing.